Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you. Ephesians teaches us is that God has a plan
and that he is unfolding his plan for us. And what he does is he gives us an insight on what his plan is, and that is to complete his vision for the body of Christ here on earth, and that we are his dwelling place, and we are the temple of God. And so through the book of Ephesians, through the writing of Apostle Paul, begins to let us know what that whole purpose was, what that whole plan is. And so when you understand that God has a plan and it's just unfolding, what happens is we can begin to start walking more by faith and not by sight, and even in the midst of the most challenging or difficult situation, learn to trust God, to know that it's all working out for our good, because God has a plan, and that his plan is going to come to fruition. So in spite of what the enemy might present to me in front of my face, or present to me as something that might discourage me or cause me to doubt God's being in control, as I learn about his word, as I study his word, as I get into his word, I understand that plan, and by faith I know that God is going to work it out, and eventually it's all going to work out for my good. So that's awesome news. That's great news. And we thank God for giving us that promise and giving us that assurance in his word. So we want to go back to Ephesians, and we want to go to chapter 1, and we want to look down at verse 16. Where it says, Paul says, he ceases not to give thanks. It's Ephesians 1, verse 16. He says, Paul says, he ceases not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that's what's so important about studying the word of God, is that we will begin to understand that God has the ability, as we look at verse 17, Ephesians 1:17, he has the ability to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And so what happens is, the more we study the word of God, the more his spirit can reveal to us God's plan for us. And that's one of the things that I try to encourage believers, is that when you know the plan, when you know God's plan, when you know and you have an understanding of how God wants you to carry it out, what that does is that takes the fear, that takes the doubt, that takes the uncertainty of your life as you're going through these situations. And it's so funny to see so many people who have matured in God, and what happens is, as they go through their situations, even though it's tough, they'll tell you, oh, well, God's working it out. Or they say, I'm going through, but I know God's got this under control. Or I might have a difficult time or a difficult day, but I know God's going to see me through. And what that is that God has revealed to them that he has given them the wisdom that they can go through, or they can handle that situation with the wisdom of God, because God, through his spirit, has revealed to them that this is not going to overtake you, that this is not going to overwhelm you, that he's not going to put more on you than that you can bear. And so now that you have that revelation by the spirit, and you have the wisdom now through the word of God of how to get through these things. And one of the great things, and that's what Paul was doing in verse 15, in verse 16, was that he wasn't ceasing to give thanks and give prayers. And one of the great things about the people of faith, the people of God, is that through prayer, through constant prayer, what happens is we learn to deal with things that are going on in our lives. And that's what I tell people, is God never said that it was going to be easy, but he said that he would be with us. And that there is a time for us to be able to get away, and what I call it is, I call it the strength exchange, where we get away into the presence of God and talk to God, let God know that we're trusting in him, that we're believing in him, that we have faith in him, to work the situation out. And so what we have to do is we have to learn to go without ceasing and pray to God. When we go without ceasing and pray to God, God will give you the strength to be able to carry it out even in the most serious storm. One of the things that I loved about David when he was going through serious storms, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he said, "I won't fear any evil." And the reason why he didn't fear any evil is because he had the revelation knowledge, the wisdom, is that God was with him. And he said in that 23rd Psalm, he said, "Thou art with me." He said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And in other words, he had been, the Spirit of God has revealed to him that even in the shadow of death, that God was with him and that he didn't have anything to fear. And so when we as believers understand our position in God, we understand that God is predestined, as God has already called us, God has already mapped out and ordered our steps, that even though we're going through those difficult times and those storms, we won't be overtaken because he has already made a way for us to get through it. And so when you have that assurance and you can talk to God and you can pray to God and you say, "God, I'm struggling with this. God, you're saying it's difficult for me right now. God, you're saying I'm in a place right now of storm. But God, I know you're the God of the storm. I know you're the God that can get me through." What happens is, as you begin to do that strength exchange, you begin to get the wisdom of how to deal with it. You begin to get the revelation that it's not going to be long. You begin to start seeing things in the midst of the storm that you wouldn't have seen necessarily, that God will begin to start saying, "I'm using you in this situation or this storm to minister to this person, or to be an example to this person, or to help this person out, or to help this person see me." And when you begin to start getting that wisdom and that revelation, what happens is you begin to start forgetting about your circumstance, begin to start glorifying God, because you recognize that God is using you, or God has mapped things out for you to do that's going to help somebody else and give God the glory. And so that's wisdom and revelation that he's talking about in verse 17. Let's read that again. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." And so even Jesus got a way to pray when he was going through physical agony, and he prayed to his Father, and God gave him the strength to be able to even go to the death of the cross. And so if it was good enough for Jesus, I'm quite sure it's going to be good enough for us. If it worked for him, it'll work for us. But when you have that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, what happens is your walk with him, your faith walk with him, will begin to mature and to begin to be more steady. In other words, you're not up, you're not down, and when situations come into your life, you're not shaking. But you can say, "This too shall pass," or you can say, "I know God's going to be with me," and you can be like the 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And when you have that thing of confidence and he, David, was confident that God was going to get to him. Let's look at that. I believe it's the 23rd Psalm. It might be the 27th Psalm. Let's look at this in the book of Psalms and see how confident he was. And when you have that confidence in the 23rd Psalm, in verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest," this is verse 5, "thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And so when you have that wisdom of the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you can get to verse 6 in this psalm. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." See, when you have that spirit of wisdom and the revelation of knowledge, what happens is you begin to rehearse these things in your in your mind and in your situation to know that everything that I ever needed, every situation I was in, God was able to prepare a table for me. And he did that in verse 5 of this 23rd Psalm. He said, in the presence of mine enemies. So in other words, while your enemies are all around you trying to take you out, trying to create drama situation after drama situation, because you have the revelation of this wisdom and this knowledge that God has revealed to you, you can be comforted and you can be assured to know that God is already taking care of you. You can sit down and eat in peace. And a lot of times people say, you should be going out of your mind. This is happening in your life. This is happening in your family. This is happening to your mom or your dad or your sister or your brother. But you're not out of your mind because you have the knowledge that God is able to take care of that situation. And so even in the midst of that situation, you haven't lost your mind. You haven't gone crazy. You haven't been in a straitjacket somewhere rocking back and forth with drool running down your face, because you know that God is able to prepare a table before you. In other words, provide everything you need, even in the presence of your enemy. And so when you have a knowledge of God, a God that can do that, what that does is that's a game changer in your life. That changes the game. That changes the framework of your reality. When your reality is that, though you bring this stuff in front of me, though you can bring these things against me, God won't allow you to overtake me, and I can still stand, and I still can have a table presented before me in the presence of my enemy. And surely, when you have that confidence, you say, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, you have that comfort in knowing who God is and what he can do, and knowing that he already has the plan mapped out. If you go up in earlier in this 23rd Psalm, where he says, the Lord is my shepherd, in verse 1, I shall not want. He says in verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. And these verses let you know that he has a comfort of knowing that God's my shepherd, that God is leading me, that I shouldn't want. And when you have a understanding, it's almost like a baby that has a mother and a father and someone that cares for them. They don't have a care in the world. You ever seen a baby sleep and baby just sleeping with no care in the world? He got his belly full, his diaper changed. Mama done petted him up or petted her up, and he's sleeping or she's sleeping without a care in the world, because the mother and the father has security around, has a security blanket around him, has fed him, has taken care of him. And so now he is comforted. And so this is the knowledge that we have with God, is that God has us. And when you say, people say, God's got your back, God's got your back, God's got the situation. He can make you lie down in green pastures. And even when it gets a little rough or a little tough, if you look at the third verse in this 23rd Psalm, what he says in verse 3, he says, he restores my soul. In other words, God has the ability to renew your enemy. Not your enemy, renew your strength. And so when you have an understanding of I'm tired, and many of us have been tired, many of us have gone through challenges and gone through struggles, and if you didn't have the knowledge that God can restore your strength, it would be a little disheartening. People would go into depression and stay in depression. But when you have that revelation, knowledge, and wisdom that God won't put anything more on you can bear, then you can bear. So when you go to him in faith and say, God, I'm weak, but you're strong. God, you said that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God, that you said that I can do all things through you that give me the strength. What happens is, as you begin to start experiencing those things, when you begin to start understanding those things, what happens is it provides a level in your life that will cause you to be able to look at situations and not get scared anymore. And when you're not scared and you don't have that fear, what that does is that gives you a confidence that even though the enemy comes in, that God is going to take control and that he won't be able to do but so much. And so in that 23rd Psalm, when he says he restores, Psalm 23, verse 3, he says, when he restores your soul, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, that God is doing this because he's God. And what kind of God he's saying, what kind of guy would I be if I allowed my people to get overtaken by the enemy? And he's saying that that's not going to happen. And so when we walk up right before God and we do the things that God has instructed in his word, God will not allow the enemy to overflow us. He'll allow him to irritate us a little bit, but he won't allow us to overflow us. He'll put us through some testing and some trials and tribulation, but the enemy won't overtake us because we are the children of God, and God will show himself strong and show himself mighty in all our lives. And so this is what Paul is revealing in Ephesians, the first chapter. He's revealing to the church in Ephesus and the churches in that area. When you go back to Ephesians 1, verse 17, he's saying, you know, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So when you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation from God, you can be like David in that 23rd Psalm and have that assurance that whatever your situation is, whatever the drama is, that God's got it under control. And when you have wisdom and revelation, you'll be able to work under the anointing on how to deal with it. Someone will say something to you, but under the anointing of and the wisdom and the revelation of God, you won't respond back in anger. You won't respond back in an attitude, but you'll begin to start responding back under the anointing of God. But that all comes through the revelation that God gives us through his word. And you praying and you talking and you applying that word to your life. And now you begin to start working with the spirit in the will of God. And when you start working in the spirit in the will of God, what happens is the word will begin to start flowing out of you. And you'll be able to be used by God to be able to handle those situations with wisdom and revelation. And you can tell people who have spent time with God. People who have spent time with God and have the wisdom of God and have been in a situation where God can reveal things to you, they don't respond in panic. They don't respond in fear. They don't respond in the ways of the world, but they always refer back to the word of God. And when you can get to a place where you have a group of believers, and this is what this letter was, it was supposed to speak to the area churches in that area to say, we have been predestined by God, and God has a plan for us. So don't get it twisted. Don't get upset. But we should be able to respond to the rest of this world with wisdom and knowledge and revelation. So let's go to verse 18. In verse 18, Ephesians 1, 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In other words, you have physical eyes, but God wants you to be enlightened with your spiritual eyes. And that's one of the most difficult things that any believer has, is because we do have a set of physical eyes. And when your physical eyes see stuff, we respond in emotions. We respond in the flesh. We respond in ways and things that we see. So when one of our loved ones gets sick, we see it with our physical eyes. We say, oh, man, our loved one's sick. And we'll have a tendency to respond in the physical. But when you have spiritual eyes, you see that what God is doing and that God is not, that that's not the end of it, but God is, even in this physical sickness, God is working a spiritual blessing in their lives, in other people's lives, in the lives of the people that are taking care of them, in the lives of the people that they're coming in contact with. And so when he says in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and when you have been enlightened spiritually, what happens is those things that happen in the natural, in your physical life, will no longer overwhelm you, will no longer cause you to get so emotional that you can't handle it. And so this is what Paul is trying to express to the church. He said, I want your spiritual eyes to be open so you can see the hand of God in every situation. And that's the way the church should be. The church shouldn't be so drama-filled because we're seeing stuff and we're responding to stuff in the natural. And it's crazy because most of the problems that we have in our lives and in the church is because of stuff that we see in our natural eyes because of stuff we experience in our natural, and we don't allow the spirit to overcome or to handle the natural. If we could go back in our lives and see how many mistakes we made because we were emotionally involved instead of spiritually involved with the situation, and how we would make mistakes because we were in our feelings, we were in our emotions, we were tied up, amen, in what we saw and how we felt. But a lot of times what we see and what we felt, what we feel, is not going to help the situation. You can be mad all you want at somebody, but the only person that's going to be able to change that person is God. Is anybody over there? When you were upset, you were mad, you had attitude, you could wring that person's neck, but the only way that that person is going to be changed, because you're not going to be able to change, is to pray and ask God, live a godly life before them, that God would change them. Many parents have gone through struggles because they wanted their child to do this, to do this, to do this. But you realize the more you screamed at them, the more you talked to them, the more you did this, the more you did that, that wasn't doing any good. So the best thing you can do is turn to God, let God work it out, and let God change them. And when God changes them, that's when you got the thing that is most precious to God, is that you got someone that's willing and wants to follow God. But you can't make anybody follow God. A lot of times I've in my years of pastoring, I've seen young ladies hook up with some guys, and I'm like, Lord have mercy, they hooked up with this guy. And one of the things that they always say is that I'm going to change him. I'm going to bring him to church, and I'm going to change him. And it sounds good. They'll tell me, I'm working on him, Pastor. I'm working on him. I'm going to get him to change. He's going to start coming to church. And I say to them, and I say to myself, is like, all the work you doing and all the bringing them to the church is not going to change them. The only thing that's going to change them is if they have a relationship with God and they want to develop a relationship with God. And then when they want to develop a relationship with God and have that relationship with God, then they'll know how to treat you the way God wants you to be treated. But it's a struggle because in their physical eyes, they think that they can do it. They think that what they're doing is right. They think that they can handle it. And they're emotionally tied up with that person on the physical end more than emotionally tied up or spiritually tied up with that person, to realize that in relationships, what happens is there's going to be physical challenges. But you can get through those physical challenges if you're spiritually rooted and grounded in God. Is anybody tracking with me on that? The only way that we'll be able to get through any type of relationship is if we're spiritually rooted and grounded in God, because all of us still live in the flesh. Amen. I don't care where you are in this world, you still live in the flesh. And if something comes against you or attacks you or gets you to respond in the flesh, the only way that you can control that is to go to God and say, God, this is really pissing me off. Yeah. Amen. God, I'm ready to take this person out. God, they done got on my last nerve. God, I'm not feeling them right now. But God, I want to be able to handle this in a way that you're going to get the glory. And that's the thing that God wants the church to do, is to handle things in a situation where he gets the glory. And the only way we're going to be able to handle that thing that pissed you off, that made you so upset, that made you so mad, is to go to God, give me the wisdom, give me the knowledge, give me the revelation of how to deal with this. Not the way I would deal with it, because I know I've messed, and all of us have messed stuff up handling it our way. Yeah. Amen. We messed it up. We screwed it up royally handling it our way. And all we do is make the situation bad, make the situation worse. But if we have the revelation and the wisdom and the knowledge that God would give us, then what we do is we'll take a step back. We'll take a deep breath. We'll get into the Word. We'll talk to God, and we'll be able to respond in a spiritual way instead of a fleshly way. This is great stuff that Paul is telling the church. But too many times we let that flesh jump up. We're quick to jump on the flesh. And then you got people in cliques and groups. Uh-oh. We got people in cliques and groups that will fuel the fire. What I mean by that? Girl, I don't know why you taking that from him. Girl, if it was me, I'd do so and so. Girl, you deserve better than that. He wouldn't do that to me. Girl, you should say so and so and tell him where to get on and where to get off. Girl, I don't know about you, but he been doing that for a while. I don't know about that. I wouldn't do so and so because he ain't right. He ain't this and he ain't that. And if it was me, I'd tell him to do this and do that. You keep on messing with him. I know. And then they pour him full fuel on the fire. And what happens is you say, yeah, you right. Yeah, you right. I don't know. And then what'll happen is now you done got with your girls and they done poured the fuel on the fire talking to you about your man. And what's happening is you don't even know what your man going through. He could be having a terrible day, a terrible month, a terrible whatever. And now all of your girls, and you're going to jump on him. Amen. And you don't even take the time to realize what's going on with him, what's happening. So instead of telling your girls, just go pray for us. Pray that God will help us and stay out of my business. And you going to talk to your man and saying, baby, what's going on? Can I pray for you? Can I say this for you? Can I help you with this? And realizing, wow, he is or she is going through something and be able to deal with it in a spiritual way. Now you have toned down the drama. Amen. You have gotten to the place now where you're saying, okay, I'm handling this in a spiritual way. I'm letting God get the glory. I'm putting my girls who are fueling the fire to the side, showing them how to handle it. Amen. And letting them know that jumping on somebody while they're having a difficult time is not the way to handle it. Amen. And nobody will want you to jump on them while they're having a difficult time with it. Because it's not going to help it, it's going to hurt it. It's an old saying, if you can't help the situation, don't hurt the situation. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all. Say something positive. Say something that's going to help the situation. Say something that's going to encourage the person to the point where now they feel a little bit of relief, not like the whole world is jumping down their throat. But if you don't have your spiritual eyes and understanding open, what happens is you're going to act just like the devil. Amen, somebody. Amen. All of us have that history. We have the history. Used to be that was our old nature, our old father. And some of us can revert back just like that. Sometimes you get mad, you can feel a cuss coming on. Anybody ever feel a cuss coming on? And you just looking at them. And you just boiling. And you steaming. And then you know you're in trouble when you start plotting stuff. In your mind, you do that one more time, I'm going to tell them where to get on and where to get off. And these thoughts start forming in your mind. You done left the spirit. You done gone straight to flesh street. You done got in your emotions and your feelings. And you're going to take it out and you're going to make them pay. And what happens is now you done left your spiritual. You done left your spiritual. And now you straight up in the flesh. Cussing folk out, angry, eyes squinted up, wrinkles in your forehead, talking fast, and out of control. And people are looking at you like, oh, my God, what is wrong with her? Or what is wrong with him? And then you're telling them, get out of my way. Get out of my way. Move out. I'm going to get this straight. But what Paul is saying in Ephesians, he's saying that your eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And he says that in verse 18, he said that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In other words, God has a rich reward for you. In other words, when we studied the book of Ephesians, what God wants us to understand is that there's a way that there's a place where we're seated, and because we're seated there, there's a way that we should walk and that we should stand. And the first thing that he wants us to know that we're seated in heavenly places. In other words, we should act like we have the riches that God intends for us to have. It's sort of like what there was a great football player played for the Detroit Lions. His name was Barry Sanders, one of the greatest running backs ever to play the game of football. Had all the records. He retired, and he could have broke all kind of records, but he retired. But when he went to the end zone, he got into the end zone. You see all these guys now, they had the end zone dance. And they want to do all their pop and lock and flip and jump and scream and holler. And all Sanders did was he got in the end zone and he handed the ball to the ref. And people wanted to you know, but why didn't he celebrate? Why did he say, because I've been there before. And because I know I'm going to get there, I'm going to get there again. And since because you've been there before, you know you're going to get there. He acted a certain way. He acted like he was supposed to be in the end zone. He acted like he was going to get back in the end zone. And so what God is saying is, I'm giving you all these riches. You're seated in heavenly places. In other words, God is, when God looks at you, he doesn't look at you in where you are. He looks at you through the blood of his son. He looks at you as already being saved. He looks at you as already being redeemed. In other words, he has given you, he's called you righteous. He predestined you that you would be seated with them in heavenly places. And so when he looks at you, he doesn't look at us when we look at each other with all our faults. You ever look at yourself and you say, man, I ain't doing that right. Man, I ain't got that right. Man, I'm coming up short here. You look in the mirror, you're like, man, my foot look bad. Man, my hair look bad. Man, I can't get nothing right. And you know, and you look at yourself, and then in order to take the focus on yourself, well, you start looking at everybody else. And you say, well, my foot might be twisted, but it ain't twisted as his. My hair might be jacked up, but his stuff is jacked up, and he ain't got no head. Or my dress might be this, but dang, she ain't got no dress at all. And you start, you know, looking at other people, and we have this tendency to find fault with ourselves, find fault with everybody else. But if we were to look at God, the way God looks at people, God already looks at us as having been inherited and seated in heavenly places. And so we got to have that Barry Sanders swagger that we said that we've already been there. We know we're going to get there. And so when you have that revelation that God has already called you righteous, that God has already predestined you, there's a place where you're seated. You're seated in a place of royalty. You're seated in a place of riches. And because you're seated in a place of royalty and riches, you should act a certain way. Now let me ask all the fellas. Whatever your favorite ride is, the most expensive, baddest ride you have, whatever it is, when you take the keys and you, and that joker open up whichever way it open up, the doors might go up or something like that. I'm not even driving. My thing, I'm going to have somebody open that joker for me. And I'm going to slip into the back. And say, home, James. There's a certain swag I'm going to have. I'm going to get back in the back and settle into my Italian leather seat, you know, and have my drinks, whatever I want laid out for me, my connection to whatever my social media is, and just ease in there and chillax. Amen. But what if your doors go up like the Lamborghini? You want to have the speed, the need for speed, and get in there. And there's a certain swag you're gonna have. You're gonna put on your driving gloves. You're gonna put your racing glasses on. And most of y'all are gonna have a certain way when you start that thing up. It's gonna go. Yeah. hold that and you hit it like that, there's something that she looking at everybody else driving their little Kia. Lord have mercy. Come on, man, get out of my way, man. Get out of my way, man. Get out of my way. And you look at her, knowing that what you have is the ultimate beast. And the way God wants us to act, He doesn't want us to be arrogant like that, but He wants us to understand that you have been redeemed, that you have been bought with the most expensive thing in the universe, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ, and that you should act a certain way. Why are you acting like a thug when you're a king or a queen? Amen. Why are you acting like a thug when you're a king or a queen? Why, when somebody cuts you out, you feel you got to go down to that level and cuss them out? Ooh. 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 Why are you going to go down to that level? Right? Why? And so he said, what you've been experiencing, when you have been enlightened like that, when you've been given the wisdom of God, you don't have to go there. Because you know who you are in God. So if you call me a booger bear, why am I going to trip if you call me a booger bear? Amen. But if I'm looking at it from the flesh, it's like, you disrespecting me. You don't know how many people are under the ground, 6 feet under the ground, how many people are in the hospital, or how many people are miserable, or how many people are in jail because they were felt like they were disrespected by somebody. What somebody say, oh man, you old booger bear, man, you a booger bear. You a booger bear. You always been a booger bear. Oh, here come the booger bear. Booger bear, you can't do that. Booger bear, booger bear. Ah, ah. And you like, man, I ain't no booger bear, man. Yeah, you a booger bear. You a booger bear. Man, I'm a booger bear, man. You putting a booger bear on you. And somebody will actually get upset, Brother B. Somebody will get upset because you kept teasing me about being a booger bear. Amen? You disrespected me in front of my girl, man. Why you gonna do that in front of my girl, man? You know, it ain't even like that. I ain't messing with you. I ain't calling you no booger bear. Why you got to be all, you know, giving me all this lip, all this negativity in front of my girl, man? You disrespecting me, man. What's up with that? And next thing you know, you going into your waistband. He going into his waistband. Next thing you know, something's going down. And people are at the funeral home, or people are at the church, or people at the hospital saying, what was the problem? He disrespected me. He came on my street. He came into my neighborhood. He was messing with the girls in my neighborhood. He called me a booger bear. Right? But when you know who you are in God, I know who I am in God. Do you know who you are in God? You can cuss me out. People cuss me out. I had a lady cussing me out. I was coming out the parking lot one time, and she was just cussing because I wouldn't pull out and allow her to get in, but I'm looking at the traffic that was coming around her saying, I need to take care of my car to make sure I can get home safely. You can cuss me out. She cussing. She flipping fingers. And I'm looking right through her, right past her, around saying, I'm not going nowhere, and you ain't running nowhere into this parking lot until I feel safe. So you can cuss me all you want, but I'm not going out into that traffic till I feel safe. And she went, rah, 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 rah. She rolled the window down and had her head out the window. Rah, 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 rah. And I was just tuning out like, all of that noise ain't going to make me move fast to get out into the traffic and destroy my car. Because I've been enlightened and had the wisdom of God that why am I going to follow up with her? She had all kind of issues in her life. I don't need that drama. I'm going to pull out of here in about 5 seconds and never see her again. Amen. But if I got in the flesh and I knew I was right, and see, that's where we get in trouble. We know we're right. I knew I was right, and you hollering and fussing and cussing at me. If you're in the flesh, with first thing you're going to slam that thing in park, throw it up. You say what? Your voice go up. The fellow's voice get a little high. What you say? And you get a little high, and you jump out the car, and next thing you know, you lost it. You no longer acting spiritual. You acting in the flesh. You done went, and I seen a guy take a hammer, bust the guy's head out with a hammer. He losing his job, doing time, got a record, and the judge is looking at him and saying, why didn't you just pull off? You were still in the car?
Yeah.
They were still in the car?
Yeah.
They weren't getting out. They was going to pull in the parking lot?
Yeah.
Why didn't you just go on down the road?
They disrespected me, man. I wasn't doing nothing. They disrespected me, man.
And the judge is looking at him like, why didn't you just leave? Mr. So-and-so, you could have left the situation. But now I'm going to have to give you 5 years. 5 years compared to them, rah, 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 I know who I am, rah, 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 and me just in 5 seconds pulling off. Going home, drinking me a soda pop, watching some TV, chillaxing, never see that person again. So what is it that we feel that we have to go to that level? Why do we have to go there, Brother B? Ask someone in the studio audience, why do we feel we got to lose our character and go there?
I mean, I think it depends on where you are in life. Because, I mean, I do know that, you know, at the end of the day, you still go through the day-to-day of living life, dealing with people, having things going on in your life. So I think what it is it's just like, to be honest with you, life wears on you. It does. I mean, there's some days you wake up and you just got to, you know, it wears on your patience. And
yeah.
You're not only even short or aggressive with strangers. You're like that with your family and friends.
Ooh.
You know what you're going through. So
ooh.
I think it's not the fact that you're even in the right mind frame. It's just you're reacting because you're so worn down from the grind of going
day
to work,
to day.
Getting up if you got kids, going to work, dealing with your boss, and getting off work, fighting traffic home. I just think when you get so caught up, you have your days where you're just looking to vent and looking to just get rid of that negative energy. So if it's an argument, confrontation, I can get all this off my chest. I don't even see you if I'm fighting you. I see my boss, so I see my girlfriend arguing with. I'm seeing the drummer to keep messing up all the time.
I
keep talking to him before the service.
Right.
You know, I'm just seeing whatever's getting me mad, that's basically what I'm laying my frustration out on, and that's what it is, you know? So I think that's bottom line. You get worn down through the day-to-day life, and then that's what it is.
Yeah, let's pass it on to someone else.
I also think that, you know, people nowadays, especially nowadays, can't really control their anger and their emotions. And what's happening on the flip side is that the other party doesn't really care. Well, they act like they don't care, but then the other party is like, okay, well, they don't care. So, you know, now you're reacting over emotion and you really can't control emotions, but you have to keep reminding yourself, just like you mentioned before, is it worth it?
Yeah.
You have to, and it's almost like you have to post it on your wall or put it in your car and ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth you going to jail? Is it worth you, you know, killing yourself or someone else? Is it worth you not seeing your family members one more day or another day? You know, you have to ask yourself, is it worth it?
Yeah.
And when you ask yourself that question and you sincerely answer that question truthfully, you say, no, it's not.
No way.
No one is worth you, you know, them stealing your joy, them stealing your livelihood. You know, so you always have to put yourself in a position where be the stronger one, be the wiser one, even though you're right, because
all
go through those situations where someone cuts you off and you know they were wrong, but they're cursing you out knowing that it was their fault.
Right.
But at the same time, you just have to say, you know what? Let it go.
It's
not worth it. There are some people who are willing to pretty much they have nothing left to lose, let's put it that way.
Okay.
And when you have nothing else to lose in life, like Brother Brandon was just saying, you know, life wears so much on us that sometimes we just really feel that there's really nothing left worth to fight for.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will just take it to that extra mile and just don't care and hurt you or your family or cut you off or you, you know, get into a car accident and you hit a tree and then, you know, then you go from there. But, you know, at the end of the day, you just have to ask yourself, is it worth it?
And let me ask you this. Knowing your position in God, knowing that, okay, they disrespected you, they cut you off, they said this. Knowing your position in God, rehearsing with that, talking to God and God letting you know that I got you, you don't have to act that way. How do you get to the point where you allow God to allow his spirit to control that?
You know, I think one thing for me, I've noticed that the more I do it, the more easier it becomes.
Okay.
When you set your mind on saying, okay, let's keep it real. At one point, I used to be the one, you cut me off, I followed you to wherever you were. I parked my car, I followed you into the store, and I went off on you.
Yeah.
And as I started getting older and wiser, like Brother Brandon mentioned also as well,
mm-hmm.
when you start growing closer to Christ, or you start really growing up,
yeah.
you know, you start changing your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you do it, the more it becomes
okay.
easier. And that's just really coming in, you know, that's where your strength comes in, that's where your wisdom comes in, and that's when your patience comes in.
Yeah.
You know, you can, at one point in your life, you could have been going off on people, but it's like after a while, you're like, all right, I'm tired of that. You know,
yeah.
I mean, if I want to change my life or I want to change something in my life, I have to change something,
yeah.
you know. And if you want something different in your life, you have to change something,
right.
you know. And that means if it starts with you, you can, one thing right now I'm learning, and I'm sure some other people are probably sharing this with me as well. One thing right now in this moment in time that I'm learning is that I don't have control over what other people do or what
Amen.
Other people say.
Amen.
And for the longest time, I've always wanted to have control of everything. I wanted to be in everything. I wanted to tell people, okay, you go this way, you go that
right,
way,
right,
and,
right.
you know, it should be done this way.
Right.
When I don't have control over that, I go crazy.
Uh-huh.
But I started to learn to accept the fact that I am not God. That's number one. And number
Amen.
Two, I can't control everything.
Amen.
So.
All right. And that young lady, or that young man right there. Young man, why do you feel that how do we stay in touch with God to the point where we're not always on get back in our feelings and our emotions?
I think that.
Like if I called you a booger bear and embarrassed you in front of your girl.
A lot of times people do, you feel embarrassed, and it's like you wanna have it. But I feel like sometimes you have to just take a step back and really think about it and say, is it really worth it?
But she was heated.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's your girl, and they call you a booger bear, and they tease you.
Yeah.
You know, they driving a Porsche, and, you know, you still pushing a little Chevy.
Sometimes you just got to think about it and say, at least I got the girl, you know?
You got to look at it.
Like we talked about it before, we got to look at it. Look at the glass half empty, half full.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to drink the rest of it.
Yeah. I like that. So you gotta learn how to look at the situation, not respond so fast.
Yeah.
So if I call it, man, you a booger bear, man, you a booger bear, man, I don't know why she going out with you, man. She gonna be all boogerly, you know, and boogerfied because you hanging with this. Leave that chump alone and come with me.
I feel like at the end of the day,
you ready to fight? You weren't ready to fight me. You wouldn't be ready.
Of course, in your mind, you soccer bobbing them.
Yeah, in your mind.
You got some gloves.
Yeah.
You never heard of the soccer bobbers? the big gloves. You put the gloves on your head, and then you fight in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you ready to do that?
Soccer bobber, you know.
In your mind, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But how do you handle that? How do you handle that? Say, I can't do that because I got a family, I got a job, I got my health. Why? How do you stay in tune with God to say, God, keep me because I don't want to do something stupid.
I think you just, at that moment, you kind of just say, you know, Lord, help me and show me what to do. And a lot of times he'll give you signs and say, sometimes the signs are actual people around you.
Yeah.
And it might be your girl that you're with.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Saying, don't worry about it, baby.
Yeah.
Acting like a clown.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you have to like calm down and really, whatever.
Right.
And be like, you're right. Give them the benefit of the doubt, because then they don't have anything else to say.
I like the way you flipped that. Yeah, I probably, dig a booger like that. Roll that joke out.
Mush it up a little bit.
And then he really nasty. Eat that joke. Nah, you could do that for your girl. Nah. Wipe it on something. Get that young lady back there. How do you keep from wanting to get back, and how do you stay in touch? How do you communicate with God to the point where you're not responding to those things that will get you in your feelings and throw you off?
Like what all has been said here tonight, it's a lot about everyday wear and tear on your mind, on your body, and it's the physical. You know, sometimes, you can be having a good day, and someone just comes, and all of a sudden, it's just at that moment, you could lose it. But in between that time, you need to let the Lord know and talk to him and say, Lord, I need your help. And I need your help, I need it now.
Right now.
And so, we have to get to the point where you need to say, Lord, I need your help now. I have learned that going into meetings, I pray and ask the Lord to go before me.
That's right.
Especially when I know there's going to be one of them heated ones.
I knew that's right.
And so, and then you get in there, and what you think in your mind is total opposite. Everyone's nice and peaceful, and
Amen.
You're having a nice conversation. The end result is what you were praying that it would be.
Amen.
And so, that's why, you're asking the Lord for help before you get into these situations. We're going to get into situations. It's all about how you handle the situation. The outcome can be a good outcome or it can be not so good. And it all depends on, it's mostly about your walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Johanna was saying about, wanting to control everything. I want to control people too, But, in the end of the day, however, you can't control how others feel.
That's right.
You can't control how others think. And you can't control about how someone feels about you.
Amen.
All you can do is just pray for that person and move on. Not everyone's going to like you. Not everyone's going to love you.
That's it.
But God has put in our heart that we're supposed to love everyone. Now, we may not like what you do, but we're supposed to love the person.
Amen. All right, well, we're going to go to some folk on the phone line. When I call the last four digits of your phone number, you're going to be on the air. We're going to go to 5904. 5904, you're on the air.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, and I'm blessed to be here again and listen to everyone's comments. It's not easy. It's not easy to deal with people that bring you issues when you know you want to say something back or to heat you up where you got to say something. But I'm trying to learn that every battle is not my battle.
Amen.
And that I have to ask God to help me to help them by not edging on whatever they have that they're trying to bring to me in a negative way. But so far, God's been faithful, and he has kept me in a situation where I don't have to do those confrontations like I used to do before. And I know that only God is the controller of all situations, but I have my part I have to play too,
Amen.
And I have to be, and I have to be obedient and listen to what he tells me to do.
Amen. Well, thank you for that comment. All right, we're going to go to 2122. You're on the air.
Well, happy Thursday. And,
happy Thursday.
As Galatians 5:17, even saved, I found myself, whatever, sometimes a situation, the flesh will rise, and it was always that spirit battle with the flesh and the spirit.
Yeah.
Even gone so far as to use Psalm 144:1, blessed be the Lord my strength, that teaches my hands of war and my fingers to fight. You know, so I'm thinking humbleness, and that's what Christ wants in us, to diffuse situations.
Yeah.
Because if not, we can get ourselves in a barrel of trouble.
Oh, my goodness. You'd be out there looking silly and don't, no way to get back.
And and we, as children of God, can put ourselves out there like that. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Appreciate it. We're going to wrap it up. We thank everyone for their comments tonight. But it boils down to being able to have the understanding of who you are in God, understanding that God will reveal to you through his spirit the way we should behave, and always talking to God about that. To help, God, help me to handle it the way you will handle it. Because if I handle it that way, I'm going to mess it up. I find myself in a lot. it's kind of scary. It's like, ooh, man, why? You know, I've been saved, but I'm still in the flesh. And God, I need you to allow the spirit to in me to handle this situation. And as you do it, like Johanna was saying, the more you do it, the more you will know how to do it. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. We're just going to close out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you, God, for truly you have blessed us this evening through your word. And Father, we thank you, God, that you have given us the wisdom and the revelation knowledge of the things that we should do in a life that is pleasing in your sight. God, we thank you for those who have called in. We thank you for those who have come here, God, and we pray for those that are going to listen on the radio. And God, we just pray that your anointing would be upon this Bible study. Oh, God, that we would be able to continue to grow strong and be strong Christians for you, God. Ultimately, God, that you would receive the honor and glory that you so richly deserve. And now, God, as we prepare to leave this place and never from your presence, we pray that you would grant us all traveling mercy. Bless those, God, that are not with us tonight, Dr. G, Sheila G. God, we pray for all of our church families, all of our members and friends, God. We pray a prayer for Denise, God, as she has an appointment with her doctor on tomorrow, God. We pray that everything will be done in a manner, God, that's pleasing in your sight. So we give you praise and thanks in advance. And for all these blessings, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Good night, everyone. We'll see you back on Thursday night. Wish everyone a happy Mother's Day in Jesus' name. Bye.